Hold a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tanzin Jess and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.18, Miracle Mouse, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tanzin, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
Jess.
137 days.
And our guest, Shayla.
Yeah, I'm back.
She never left.
Chapter 28. Thomas comes to the rescue and identifies Crane as his cousin Madrigal Wraith. Madrigal confesses he isn't the orchestrator of the attacks. Before they can figure out what's going on, a creature in the guise of the Scarecrow attacks.
Vampire showdown.
Yeah, Lone Ranger Thomas to the rescue.
Hell yeah.
Right.
I seem to recall several chapters back you saying,
"Oh, we never find out who's following Harry."
No, we know who's following Tom. We know Thomas is trailing Harry.
Yeah.
We don't know who ran Harry off the road earlier. And there is another part in the novel where it is a different car. And so it is assumed that there are two tails.
Yes, this is true. But you just said at one point, we never find out who's following him.
Will you do a replay, please?
I remember.
I'm pretty sure
it was the two cars. I would never have thought remembered if you hadn't have pointed that out.
See, and when I read through and Mouse gets hit by a van, I straight up thought that was the car that ran him off the road earlier.
Right? Makes sense. There's too many cars in this novel. I don't know what cars look like.
And none of them are Harry's.
We need more descripting.
So, yes, Thomas has been keeping an eye out.
Well, once I found out you were on a job again, I figured it just made sense.
Why, Thomas? Why would you possibly think that? What has Harry done in his past to give you that impression?
Zero confidence in his brother.
But also totally right. And we know that from the last couple of short stories, too, that Thomas was trailing him then as well.
So. Right?
Okay, really quick question. Don't need a deep explanation.
Oh, good luck.
Who's older, Harry or Thomas?
Thomas by 5 years.
Okay. Jess, you were also the oldest child here.
Oh, I absolutely stalk my siblings.
Thank
to
you.
To an impressive extent.
Thank you. I do the same, whether it's on social media or I just know where they
and
live.
And not just siblings. Anyone who's ever come in and out of my home, I've read your mail, I've read your emails, I've read your diaries. I know where you go. I hang out in your bathrooms when you're not there.
Oh, my God. I've given you my key to look after the house.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Big dog, you don't have a
She's
key
got a
my
copy.
House.
She just comes in on weekends for fun.
But don't worry, guys. Only Tanzin has access to, like, our Discord and Patreon. You're fine. Jessica will not hack and stalk you, I promise.
Yeah, think about what you're saying here on AirDrop.
Multiple people I've messaged and demanded their addresses from. Excuse me, I need to leave early. I need to go move.
And what's
all
the worst that's ever happened to your house? Maybe 100 ducks hidden in every crevice of the place? It's not that bad.
Yeah, I just ripped apart my house. I've found a majority of the ducks now. There was no more hidden. Now I gotta go through every single DVD and CD that I own to see if I can find any more stupid ducks.
Oh, if you haven't opened all the DVDs, there's definitely more ducks in your house.
Have you seen my house? Do you know how many
DVDs
I have?
Yes, apparently she hid ducks there.
Oh my God. Impressive.
I have hundreds.
This started somehow as a joke with Jess and her friends, and Jessica's just shared the love. Jessica received millions and millions of rubber ducks in various sizes. And she has hence spread the love. Because for some reason, she didn't want 2,000 ducks in her house.
Yeah, and I'm still not out of ducks.
And she's...
I have two little ducks in my bathroom, but that's unrelated to you.
Maybe one day it'll be three.
Careful what you wish for, Tanzin.
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for.
You know she's here almost every week, right? And sometimes when you're not home.
I'll be like sitting here and be like, is that another fucking duck?
Tanzin's like, I'm never going to ask her to cat sit again.
They're coming with me this time.
So, yes.
But you need a plant sitter. Look at them.
I swear they're in good condition, although the water meter should have gone off by now, I think. I think it only worked once.
Only Tanzin would have high-tech plants. This does not surprise me.
Okay, so I don't
kill all the plants.
I get it. I'm not saying it's not necessary. I just think you're the only person I know who's got high-tech plants.
Okay, vampire showdown. Thomas has no faith in his brother, stalking his brother. Relatable for Jess and I, at least.
It's just funny that Crane couldn't have done the homework to know exactly who Harry Dresden was, but as soon as Thomas shows up, ugh. You, if I were Dresden and I didn't have all the facts in the film, I'd be like, how the fuck do you know Murphy and Thomas and not me?
Right?
I'm the fucking star of the show.
I'm in the phone book.
My name is on the title of this thing. Yeah. What the fuck?
I'd be so mad if I were him. I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, that's when you know you're making your sidekicks do too much, when people are recognizing Robin and not Batman.
I'm delegating a little too much
now. In our defense, sir, there's 45 Robins. There's only one of you. They're everywhere.
Right? He did get supernatural vibes off Crane and Thomas. So, I mean, it could be, right, even without knowing the exact connection, it could be possible that he recognizes Thomas, you know, because he's in the world of whatever. But I'm getting such, like, Spike vibes off Thomas here, though, because Thomas has stolen Harry's coat. Well, borrowed it, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Long Ranger.
But again, so yeah, Thomas has, you know,
an homage to our narrator.
Long, curly, dark hair. And
I'm
like,
Harry,
the
Thomas
short,
went with the hat because it fits the profile. It was on the cover.
That's why he keeps getting it. It's Thomas lurking around as Harry, and people are like, he wears a hat. But yeah, just,
nobody else in Chicago wears a hat.
Well, not with a big,
does anyone
dark
still
duster.
Wear a hat?
I'll drink.
Drink to Mahler. Yeah. But anyways, yes, just with his borrowed costume, I'm just getting Spikey vibes with the duster and the big gun and the whole.
I love this moment of pass the gun over here and then kicking it over to Harry. It's like that for me, totally cinematic moment of all the, you know, Avengers are down on the crane. You don't know who's with who. And then they all start like sharing hammers and swords and shields. Like, whoa, you guys can't do that.
Wait, what? Yes, exactly. Darby's complete and utter disbelief when he, like, kicks it over to Harry. He's like, wait, what?
Yeah,
the fuck are you doing?
Following the sentence right before that, I thought you'd be dead by now. I get by. Boom, shacked up with a wizard.
So this whole exchange. So, yeah, it's fantastic when he comes out and he's all like, you know, you met my cousin. We're like, oh. And then, right? And then, yeah, Magical is all like, oh, I'm surprised you survived or whatever. And he's like, exactly right, like I'm getting by. And then he's like, well, why are you siding with him? We're family. And Thomas is all like, fuck you. I've been banished. Haven't you heard? You're not family. Go fuck yourself. I don't care. And then like 5 minutes later, he's like, oh, but we're family. I don't really want to kill you. But you know what? I've been ostracized, so I'm totally going to blow your kneecaps out. But you know what? We're family, so we surely should respect each other. But you know what? I've been ostracized, so I'm just going to blow. I'm like, wake up your fucking mind, you guys.
He's just fucking with him.
Oh, poke, poke. So bad. Poke. Like, oh, I don't care. I'm not part of the family. But okay, enough part of the family. I don't really want to kill you. But you know, oh, my dad's going to get me. No, my dad's going to get you. Dad doesn't care if he loses another. Like, it's just this whole thing. I was like, what the fuck? Are you family or not? Do you care or you're not? Because you're playing up both sides real big, but like
in true white court vampire style,
I suppose. True familiar.
He learned his job.
Right.
Am I on your side? Or am I not?
Yeah, exactly, huh? Right. I just kind of makes your head spin a little bit. I was like, you guys.
I know that one. I just think it was from The Simpsons. I can't remember what it was. I think it was us when they had to go to Australia. And Homer's just like, oh, so when I step over here, I'm in the U.S. And then when I'm over here, I'm in Australia. And he's just like, yeah. And he's just like, oh, you can't get me. And he's like going thing. Back. And finally, he just gets like clocked right in the face. And
right.
That's kind of what that reminds me.
That, yeah, you know what? That is very much that kind of a, absolutely.
I do like Rollins being happy that Magical got shot in the foot, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, I like it.
How do you like it now?
Right. How do you like the name?
This is even more. The whole eBay thing with the whole supernatural world watching through the internet was obviously entertaining. And I know they didn't have a live cam, but that would have been even more entertaining.
Oh, hell yeah.
Excuse me, our prize is getting away.
But now it's almost the reverse, where Rollins gets to witness this, and he's the one on the other end being like, yo, what the fuck is up with these people?
Just get to randomly shoot people. And...
I just started to accept wizards, and now we've got two vampires.
Wait, what?
What's next?
my note on that is it's a beautiful moment of karma when he shoots him. It's a toe-to-toe moment. toe for a toe.
We love a good pun.
Right. It's even more funny, though. Oh, my father will hear about this is one thing. My uncle will hear about this. Get your own dad, you piece of shit.
Yeah, right. Well, his dad's not the king of the right.
I know,
card,
but
though,
if someone's going to come to me and be like, I'm going to stick your dad on you, I'd be like, kill yourself.
Which is pretty much what Thomas does.
You know, skydiving naked? Come on.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, it's my dad. Who are you? My uncle will hear about this. You know, your father.
Yeah, and Thomas is like, he doesn't give a shit about you either. Like, yeah, fine, dad doesn't like me, but that doesn't make you any more up in his
books. He doesn't even think about you.
Right, yeah.
He actively hates me. There's a difference.
Yeah. What is that? You know, the opposite of love is not hate. It's, you know, he actually has to have feelings to hate me. Yeah. So, you know, dad loves me in his own way.
Okay, so this part is really, really creepy and weird because Thomas is implying that Madrigal doesn't do the whole sex vampire thing. As we have previously said, all of the White Court vampires were previously believed. All the White Court vampires are...
They believe on the psychic energy of sex. Sorry. But apparently it's...
Starts with an I.
Incubus?
Yes. They're all incubus. But now we're getting this sort of an idea where it doesn't have to be sexual feelings. It can just be strong emotions of any kind, in which Madrigal is apparently more after the fear factor.
Does this mean that there's some White Court vampires that are just clowns?
I'm sorry, but if you're taking the sex part out of it, that's kind of defeating the purpose of an incubus.
Sorry. Tansen, just go.
Tansen, wouldn't that fall under the fear factor side still?
Yes, exactly what she means. Like, the scariest thing a person can be is a clown.
Except she just said, I'm going to make you really happy.
One's the appetizer, one's the main course. I don't know.
Yeah,
what the fuck is going on in these courts? Like, Christ.
Right? And this is just the white. We're not even involving the reds and the blacks here.
At least they're just killing people. The white are dressing up as clowns, and some of them are having sex, and some of them aren't. I don't know which is worse.
Contribute further. It's awful.
Squeeze this.
This concludes our episode 17.8.
Sorry, we've all just died. My face hurts now. Okay. She's gone. We lost her.
Boy, hey.
Just got sprayed in the face by your flower.
It all over me.
Ah! Oh, I see. The clowns. I thought you meant Shay when she walked by you. I was like, what happened?
A few moments later.
Okay, so Thomas is like, it's sick, Madrigal. It's the same thing. We're both feeding. In the end, we both kill. There's no difference. And I'm almost with Madrigal on this one. To a certain point, I could see why a sex vampire would be like, it's gross to do it any other way than other sex, but I can see from Madrigal's point of view being like, bitch, we're draining our enemies, or we're draining victims.
Psychic energy, like, psychic energy is psychic energy, right?
And exactly. It's almost a little bit more vampiric in the end. It's like, okay, it's not blood, but it's still Boo. Basically like...
Isn't that why, like, cats play with their food, right? The adrenaline just makes everything taste better, you know? So, yeah, to get that scare factor going... Like vampires and stuff chase you down and...
I don't know what kind of cats you've owned, but mine just go straight to eating.
No, we've had some that batted around for a while, but like...
Yeah, I've had them bring in enough live things and let them loose in the house that they didn't... Yeah, Ty did not go straight for the kill at all.
Ty was the worst about it. Like, many mice and many birds.
I think I called you at one point. I was like, there is a mouse and it's in half underneath the...
Yeah, that was worse.
And then the dog took care of it. I was like, oh, never mind.
It's like that old joke, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple?
Half a worm in an apple?
Finding half a worm. That was, yeah, what's worse than finding mice in your house when you consistently find, like, half a bird or half a mouse? Yeah, those were fine.
It was very disappointing to come home and see feathers and be like, all right.
No shit.
Where is it?
Has the carcass.
Yeah, yeah.
So Madrigal tries to antagonize Thomas and bring up Justine. And
well, he brings up an interesting... Hang on, right before that when they're talking about this, too, just to go back to the fear factor, because Thomas is like, they could potentially let theirs... Which is an interesting thing to say, because what we've seen so far they don't really.
Laura has built a harem.
Laura has built a harem, and those guys aren't going anywhere until they're sucked dry and blah, 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 blah. But Thomas is like, theoretically, we can just let ours
blah,
go.
Blah, 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 blah.
Welcome to our musical episode. You thought they were here before, but this one is going to be like every beat. Whereas, yeah, he's like, that's part of it. Which I get. I mean, depending on the kind of scaring you're doing. But I was like, in theory, again, if you're just going to, you know, pop up and go boo every now and again, you theoretically could feed and let them go. But apparently that's not the kind of fear they're into. It's like, just, oh, no, we
yeah,
have
that's
to.
That's what I mean. It's such intense fear then because.
Like, is he scaring people to death?
Well, Thomas is implying that, you know, a one-night stand, let them go. But for the most part, they're choosing to keep them forever.
Yeah, we're going
to
chain you up in our basement so you are just scared all the time.
Even Laura's doctor seems to be, like, still a practicing doctor. So he gets to go to work every now and again and play doctor. And then
does he go to work or is he simply now
the
concierge doctor that all he does is doctor for the Wraith family?
Maybe, I'm not
sure. He's like a live-in nanny, you know. He's like an on-call doctor just for them now. So, yeah, he has the skills. But it's like, yeah, I don't let you out of the house. You don't get to go doctor anybody else, but regardless, is that.
Seems a little like both of them are pretty naive, too. How captive is a captive?
Okay, yeah, right? What is the. And then, yes, and then, as Tansen just mentioned, he takes it one step further and brings up his little doe-eyed whore or whatever. And
Thomas just shoots him right in the knee.
No, we're not even. Not just fucking takes out his kneecaps. I'm like, and Thomas has favored in the past his Desert Eagle, which is a very, very, very large handgun, from my understanding. This is like perfect opportunity that he just happens to have his sawed-off shotgun here too. Because when he first mentioned shooting him and it takes out both feet, I was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh yeah, shotgun, it sprays. It's as soon as, right? So I was like, oh yeah, right. So yeah, same thing. So not only did he like shatter his feet, now he takes out like both knees in the same blast as what I, oh, and he's like
buckshot everywhere.
Right? Can't
never
even
hurt
scream.
Family.
Yeah, right? He's like, I'd prefer to leave you, but yeah. And it's like it's so bad. Like Wraith or Madrigal is not even like screaming. He's like, because it's like.
So Glau is running, and Harry thinks that he can actually see space between where his feet
like he's not
and
actually
the concrete
touching the ground.
So,
he's
okay, illusion magic,
on.
What the fuck are you?
I don't know. He's in love. He's walking on air.
He's like Roadrunner.
Walking on sunshine. Yeah, right? So, neat little tidbit that occurred to me this week going over this. So the name Glau has been bugging me the whole time because I'm like, it strikes a spark of recognition, but more so obviously than just in the book because obviously that's where I know it from. Finally dawned on me this week, and again, don't know if it's an actual connection or not, but the actress who played River in Firefly, her name is Summer Glau. Yeah, and I was like, oh, is this another, like, but you're throwing in little connection-y thingies?
That's a terrible reference. He must not have liked her.
I mean, it makes an interesting, like, baddie name. Like, Glau is not a common name. And I mean, he
makes me sort of think of Gollum.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like, more like a sound than anything.
Right, maybe that's why her parents named her, like, Summer. Like, we need to offset this last name. Summer! And she played a character called River, and who actually, yes, was, I don't know, she was a dancer. I think she was a model or something, too, so definitely. Definitely not an icky character like Glau, but anyways, I just was finally like, I'm like, that's where I recognize it from anyways, was from that, whether it's a specific connection or just
purposeful or not.
Purposeful or coincidental, yeah. And
so Mouse gallantly shoots out of the shadows. Woo!
Not oh, dead!
Mouse.
Woo!
Ooh, and who? And wait a minute.
Really strong indications that Mouse is more than mere canine. I thought I saw something forming around the dog's forequarters, a tiny flicker of pale colors, almost like St. Elmo's fire. I made sure my eyes were clear, then looked up to find Madrigal staring at the dog in shock and fear. That isn't a dog, the vampire whispered.
But it'll do anything for Scooby's dick. Yes. Oh my god, what? Mouse can't possibly be more than just a dog. What? This dog that, like, found Harry and stayed with Harry and, you know,
was originally part of a group of temple dogs that needed to be sent back home to the monks because they were so important to their
Temple. Yeah, exactly right. And he's just always there. He never growls at anything. But when supernatural baddies are around, all of a sudden he makes noise. And exactly, he's just...
Well, a certain amount of it you could play off to being a very intelligent dog. But at this point, it's like, oh, and now I see things.
And that is also the thing, is all the hints to, you know, Mouse being a very intelligent dog. But exactly, so what... What
we
do
have
you mean?
Someone in the Discord who just got to Blood Rites for the first time, and they're, I really like Mouse. I hope Mouse gets to stick around for a while, and no one's giving any spoilers. Good job, guys. But I hope when you get to this novel, you're briefly tricked into thinking Mouse is done.
Right.
Just for the elation that comes after the trauma.
And I was going to say, I'm one of those people who I'm like, no, he can't possibly be dead.
I don't see a body. You're not dead.
Right. Well, we did kind of see the body, but he just got stolen away right afterwards. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's always that slight tingle. Because again, Butcher can be one of those authors where sometimes he does pull the rug out from under you. And sometimes he does hurt, maim, kill somebody or whatever. And you're like, oh, wait, that was like for real? That's like a what? Like, he's one of those ones that likes to toy with your emotions. So there's always that, like, momentary, like, he couldn't have. No, there's no way. So, yeah, definitely more of like, I knew it all along, but still relief. Yeah, so he comes, takes out, does, like, a big running jump, tackles him into the, with neck-breaking force. And you're like, all right, I love the description afterwards, because it is something I have seen my dog and many a dog do. He stares at him like all like right, rigid legged, waiting, just he's not getting up. And he does the back kick, the two legs, like the right, like scuffing, like the, I don't even know how you describe it.
Kicking dirt
thing. But yeah, but that aggressive, like wiping your feet, kind of kicking the dirt up. And then he's like, okay, yeah, take that. It's like, it's so beautiful, because I'm like, this is literally
kicking
things I have seen
away.
Dogs do. Exactly, right? Covered up and all done. And
all mom's dogs have a lot of attitude.
This is true, but they are also super sweet and great around children. So, you know, I don't know. They're sassy, but they're kind of like my kids. And I don't know.
God.
Seems to be a... So back to Madrigal, blah, blah, blah. Tell us what the fuck is going on. I don't have to tell you anything, and you can't make me, and you don't have time. All right, we'll just shoot you flat out. Okay, I promise too. Okay. Turns out Madrigal has nothing to do with the attacks. He's just taking advantage of them.
What a douchebag. You're wasting all of our time. We have things to do. You're selling me on eBay for no reason.
Profits. It's all for the profits. That's all the reason he needed. Apparently a bunch of other people hate you. I don't know why, but I'll cash in on it. Oh, apparently there's somebody out there terrorizing things. I don't know what that's all about, but I'll take advantage of it.
Even more rude. Wow, there's some bad guys in town, and the only guy who wants to stop them is worth... How much money? Meh.
Right? Opportunistic douchebag. I mean, I don't know. I guess he does. He asks all the questions. He finds out where all his gear is. So conveniently, Madrigal hasn't gotten rid of anything either. And all of his stuff is in the van. So he gets the key so he can get the damn manacles off and get all... I love how he never, you know, 100% loses all his gear. I'm like, this would be the other, like, aside from all the villain speeches that allow you to have time. I'm like, you know, if he just fucking got rid of his shit and, like, just destroyed it all. But no.
You don't have time. He went straight for the auction.
He's not going to get away from me. It's fine. So, yeah, all this stuff is there. And then they see Glau is actually still twitching and starting to try to, like, crawl away. And I love you. And he's like, Thomas, go get it for me. And he's like, and he stops and checks his image in the mirror. It's like so typically fucking Thomas.
Another phobophage in the form of the scarecrow. Shows
something
up.
Else comes crawling out of the shadows.
A creature, perhaps 10 or 11 feet in height, rose up and turned to face us. It was dressed all in rags, like some kind of enormous hobo, and was inhumanly slender. Its head was a bulbous thing, and it took me a second to recognize it as a pumpkin, carved with evil eyes like a jack-o'-lantern's. Those eyes glowed with a sullen red flame and flashed intensely for a moment as it spied us. So this reminds me of a few things. One of them is sort of Jeepers Creepers, because they present him in rags.
Yeah, the rags. But completely creepy.
Only a little bit.
Murderous.
Then there's like the obvious namesake of Pumpkinhead itself.
Yeah, so Pumpkinhead's actually one of my favorite movies. It's a really stellar revenge story. Basically, just really quick premise, Lance Henriksen plays a father. His kid is killed off by obnoxious teenagers. So he takes his kid. He wants revenge. Like, that kid is all he had left, because I can't remember where his wife is, if she walked out or if she died, but he's alone. He's heartbroken. So he goes to the witch in the woods, and gets her to summon Pumpkinhead. And Pumpkinhead goes after the obnoxious teens and starts killing them off. To which he kind of regrets his choice, going, no, this isn't right. And the witch is just like, well,
too late
you paid
now,
him
bro.
To do a fucking job. He's going to do the fucking job. So he ends up, like, interfering, destroying Pumpkinhead, only to become Pumpkinhead himself. It's a bit of a vicious cycle. If you defeat it, it's got to live on.
Oh, my God. It's like the Santa Claus. Only evil?
Incredibly fucking evil. But yeah, like, I'm sorry. That always makes me laugh. It's like, oh, I'm having second thoughts. Nah, you hired me to do a job. I'm going to do the job.
There's no backing out.
Yeah. My only gripe with Pumpkinhead as the equation on there is that it looks kind of more like an alien figure instead of, like, how it's been described. Like, it's... It didn't quite do it for me.
Okay, this is also the 80s.
But there's a couple other ones that it sort of vaguely remind me a little bit of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Yes, that was another one that did come up. And I think it's just, you know, Headless Horseman carrying around a fucking jack-o'-lantern.
But the biggest one that struck me, because it was bugging me, and I looked up some things, and then I realized what it reminded me of is if you've ever seen Return to Oz.
Unfortunately, yes. And when I was young, and I was not happy about
it. It's not intentionally a horror movie.
No, it's
but
not.
It
was advertised
well
to kids.
What the fuck did you do to Oz?
Traumatized so people.
Yeah.
Now, the character that I am thinking of, and I pulled up.
I love it. That is exactly what I see. Just Godzilla size.
The character is actually a gentle character. It's his name is Jack Pumpkinhead. And he's very sweet but his physicality is exactly how I see this character here that's described.
Yes, the scarecrow hobo clothes with a giant pumpkin head jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because I found another picture that was from the RPG.
Yes.
That has the scene where they're fighting him off.
Yes.
And I was like, oh,
which
my gosh,
fantastic.
No, it looks like the exact same character from Return to Oz, just evil.
Yes, I'm surprised that you remember that from back then because, yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Did you see it as
actually,
a child?
Yes, or, I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, see, I remember going when I
had... Queen Mombi. Oh, that was the scariest thing
I
ever.
Probably the blocked the, most. I remember the little unicycle... crazy
Jeeper,
guys.
Whatever the hell they were called.
Yeah, no, I was not impressed because, yeah, Wizard of Oz was wonderful and magical. And yes, it had a scary part, but it was so wonderful and magical.
It was Frieza Bulk that played Dorothy.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think I remember that now. I think, yeah, years later, probably when I was looking her up because I watched her on, like, The Craft and stuff like that, and I probably went back and was, oh, she was the one that was in that. But yeah, no, yeah, I did not like what they did in Return to Oz. I was like, you made it so horrible and so creepy.
It was formative for me. I was just like, yeah. Oh my God, I'm so scared, but that was so cool.
Oh, yeah, formative for me.
The lunchbox tree? I always was like, I want a tree that has lunchboxes on it.
Nope, don't remember that either.
That's cool.
I'm pretty sure I've never watched it again.
We'll add it to the USB stick.
Repressed her fucking trauma here.
Right? No kidding.
It was like, you ruined us.
And did you ever play City of Heroes?
I haven't even heard of it.
Apparently there's a pumpkin figure in there, and Jim plays that game a lot. So there's also potentially something from there.
There you go.
But I never played the game.
Which childhood trauma did you pull this from? Or which several childhood
or
traumas,
several ones,
Jim?
What I'm saying,
did you,
yeah, I'm sure
which
all
amalgamation of
them? I'm sure Jim Butcher's, he's the perfect age to have also been traumatized by this movie as a child.
Right.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I've never seen it, so I don't have trauma.
There you go.
It's still weird looking. It's still crazy.
The pictures are fun. I like the pictures.
It's
yeah, I do like the pictures. They that's really just pretty good to what I
Jim Henson feel. I don't know if Jim Henson did it.
Well, if it's Jim Henson, I would not like it.
Return to Oz?
Yeah.
I
but
don't
it's
know.
Got
I
that's
to
like
look it
some of its little claymation moments. And,
I don't know, more like
and
Tom
for anybody
more like
listening
Tim Burton than Jim Henson.
For Return to Oz, it is currently streaming on Disney Plus.
Oh,
well,
I am
great
adding it to my watch list now because I've never seen it.
I might almost have to now just to view it in adult eyes from one eye and see if it still is or whether like because. It traumatized me then, it'll traumatize me now, or whether I can be like, wow, this is super cheesy, or I might have to. I'm not promising I will, but I might. But yeah, this scarecrow.
There's this great moment, too, you'll find with the Troll King. Since you're going to see it.
Yeah, I'm looking at just like.
Yes, queen.
Some of the screenshots from it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little fucking terrifying.
I was going to say, yeah, even the scarecrow and stuff
nightmares.
Like that were just, yeah, they weren't the same characters from, they weren't, yeah.
Not your feel-good friendly.
No, Like, why? Why did you...
Fuck, this was a Disney movie. Okay, I have to just say, Disney had a thing in the 80s of making movies to traumatize kids.
Oh, yeah.
The Black Cauldron.
That was the other one that I remember seeing that I cried through.
See, The Black Cauldron, I did watch it as a kid because it was, like, being re-released on VHS for, like, their Diamond or Platinum Edition
that
or something.
That one I actually like.
But I love that one. But, yeah, like, my mom rented it for me. And it scared the shit out of me because I think I was 6 because this was the 90s.
I'm going to say, we had that on VHS. I like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually one of my favorite ones, and it's highly
I definitely remember
grossly.
That one.
No. Wait. We're mixing them up. The Black Cauldron is a cartoon.
Yes.
The Dark Crystal is
that's
the one.
That's a horrible movie.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
That's Jim Henson.
That's the one
that's
I was thinking of.
That's the darker mind of Jim Henson.
Yes. The Dark Crystal is the one that I was like, I actually kind of, yeah, I didn't mind. No, The Dark Cauldron.
The Black Cauldron.
The Black Cauldron. Isn't that the one with, like, Guinevere and the Arthur Esquire? How is that one traumatizing?
Because you've got, like, skeletons and characters actively dying in cartoon form.
Yes. Isn't that, like, one scene where he, like, falls into some cauldron thing?
Yeah,
like,
the Black Cauldron!
Yeah. Like that's the only thing that I remember from my childhood is that scene, and it's still, like, that's the only flash part that I remember. Oh.
See that one until I was older, because I don't know, because there was
Black Cauldron, also streaming on Disney+.
Yeah, no, it's the Dark Crystal that I always get those two confused and think it's, which was darker, but for some reason, all I can think of in that one...
The release series that they did is and on Netflix did it justice.
Did it?
Yeah, it was good.
Okay, because I just remember like the one part where they're all trying to see and they can't and like the witches and they just like pop out the eye and like hold it up above everything to like look around because they're like back behind.
Back to the Greek book mythos. Here. So the scarecrow emerges.
Picks up Glau, casually rips him in half. Harry tries to blast him with fire. He like brushes that off, like lint off his shoulder, and then just like glares menacingly at everybody.
Oh shit.
Kind of gives me Godzilla vibes. Like, oh, you just launched a missile at me?
This to me almost seems like a dream. When you know that you need to run, you know that you need to fight, you put up these defenses and it just walks through them.
It's just
coming. And it doesn't care about anything else. And you're like, okay.
No, this should
this
have
is how
no.
I die.
Yeah, to the point where it then casually picks up Harry.
I'm going to crush your windpipe. Mwahaha.
Not even. I'm going to rip you in half like I just did to Glau. Because that's what he does at first. He grabs him by both ends and starts to... Harry's like, gee, how will this turn out? Not like I just got a foreshadowing.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling. Chapter 29. Harry and Thomas fight off the Scarecrow. Afterwards, they track the remaining phages to a familiar location.
So the fight begins. Thomas pulls a saber and throws a shotgun to Rollins. Mouse leaps at the Scarecrow and gets batted away. Poor poppers.
Smashed into the aluminum corrugated steel wall, whatever the fuck that thing is made of.
Harry has a lot of bad days. Mouse is having a bad fucking day.
Mouse is like picking up like Harry's battle karma.
Right. Like, he's like, can I go back to being a puppy where I just got to sleep in your pocket?
Yeah, seriously.
This growing up shit is bullshit. You're throwing me into all kinds of dangerous situations and I'm getting fucking hurt here, bro. Yeah.
You're just going to see Mouse later, like, listening to All the Small Things by Blink-182 on repeat, especially screaming the part of work sucks. I know.
Right. He thrashed his legs and managed to rise to a wobbly stand. Oh, not the dog, too.
Mouse is going to need a vacation after this.
Right?
This is the most Scooby-Doo Looney Tunes bullshit. Harry finally starts running away only to realize there's still a hand wrapped around his throat crushing it.
Yeah, finally, yeah.
This is totally straight from Evil Dead 3 Army of Darkness moment.
Right? Or the hand just keeps going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah Jess and Maggie know exactly
like
what
that
we're talking about here.
That one I know. But yeah, exactly. Thomas finally manages to, like, do some super super cool gymnastics and, like, leap 11 feet up in the air to, like, chop his arm off. Drops Harry, like, 5 or 6 feet to the ground. Harry's like, all right, I really want to
hear Roland's thoughts right now.
I just had a funny, because he does, like, in his Harry's act of desperation, he draws that circle around himself, which does destroy the hand. But then right, immediately after, I was like, quick, run in a circle around the scarecrow. Run in a circle around the
Go. Harry's, Thomas, you just keep distracting him. I just got to do this thing. Yeah,
I couldn't help but think that Thomas's, like, gymnastics stuff totally just reminded me of, like, wrestler-style entertainment, like how he's, like, leaping and yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Pull us back down. Just
exactly. Yeah. So that doesn't work. So then they try the running away. So Madrigal takes us. Oh, Madrigal starts to run away. So nice vampy powers has started to heal. And we heard the nice snap, crackle, pops in the last chapter that indicated that everything was nicely unshattering. And what does he do? Harry, and even Harry at this point is right, like, the enemy of my enemy. Like, we all got to stand together.
Go, run.
Yeah.
Run.
And so he, like, leaps in front of Madrigal, and Madrigal immediately shoves him into the, here, poof, you get eaten.
Is that a family trait? It's like somebody else got kicked into the fray?
Right.
Yeah, no kidding. Right. Fuck.
Right. You fucking little fuckers.
You backstabbers.
You white cords. Oi.
Dick. I wrote down there. Dick.
Dick.
But Harry manages to get his shield up in time, and the Scarecrow beats the heck out of the shield.
Darch just, like, throwing oil barrels and shit. A little Donkey Kong movie here.
One of these days, even though I know it's not a real shield and it's just force in the air, I still expect Harry to pull it up one day and it's just dented to shit.
Right?
Isn't that what the sparks are for?
I was going to say that's the visual, yeah.
It has a sound effect of...
But everything is in your mind and what you believe. Eventually, Harry's just going to believe his shield is, like, fucking
shit. That probably is. For all we know, the thing he pulls up looks like a fucking Dalek helm thing, you know,
with
a totally, like, pockmarked in. But it's still a shield and it still holds. But yeah, that was my first exact. I was like, that's what all, like, the drizzling sparks and everything are. That's the physical manifestation of this thing being beat to shit, right? So yeah, keeps just flinging things at him. Mouse comes back. Then they're trying to do a whole, like, wolfy move, like, a, you know, attack from this side while you're distracted. I'll attack when you turn, you know, blah, 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 and get him going. And so Mouse again, not looking too good, not down and out yet. And eventually they're just, like, run away. Eventually Thomas pulls kind of a summer night Harry against the plant monster, where he's like, oh, let me just drive a car into it. See if that works.
A plant monster? What's that?
Sorry, I meant a...
Chlorophene.
Chlorophene.
I believe you forgot.
I did for a second. I went fauna.
But Mouse also having this leonine roar. How fucking loud is this fight right now? They're not out of the city.
And Magical...
Here are this... fucking warehouse coming down on itself, and you hear a lion in the midst of it.
Well, I was gonna say, we know this is like
an old garage.
It's like, a semi-industrial kind of. It's not like,
but it's not outskirts of Chicago.
It's not outskirts of Chicago by any. And that's what Madrigal's point was in the last. He's like, we've already been screaming and yelling at each other. You've already fired off a few gunshots. Like, you don't have time to beat the truth out of me because the cops are coming. Right? And Harry's like, oh yeah, first sign of a siren, we'll just kill you. So again, now you've escalated even that much further. And exactly, now you have, like, Lena.
You know, SI just checked the address and we're like, not fucking again.
Right?
Been there,
have
done
this
that.
Place? My God, the werewolves came back. Yeah. So yeah, now they're just like, all right, let's just quit dicking around. So I love how Rollins is already in there. Okay, cool. I don't have to stop. Let's run away. And the fucking thing keeps up with the fucking van.
That's
I appreciate
terrifying.
That Madrigal ran away without his car, though. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
I know, because that's what you
we
think.
We have more invalids than you, so we get the car? Okay, that's fair. Okay, thanks. Bye.
I believe it's invalids. Invalid is something else. It's like Polish and Polish.
It's what she's doing to you. She's
invalidating
you.
Your point because they have more invalids.
I've never
invalid.
Said it out loud before, I guess. did
you get the one I sent to you the other day?
I don't read anything you talk about.
I know. She never does. But then she expects us to read all the stuff. But it was literally that. It's like words that you've only ever read and not said out loud. And there's like thaumaturgy was like one of them, which was funny. And then one of them was like Sean, S-E-A-N.
As long as you know what the words are, though, that's the more important thing.
That is
that
more
means
important.
You've read.
Until you're in a conversation, you don't know the words.
And then you pull out, yeah, hearth instead of hearth. And
I'm never worried about somebody mispronouncing a word. As long as they know what it means.
Fair, that's part of it. But it's just funny in that context because, you know, we're talking about, like, Harry and Thomas. And I was like, we've got more invalids than... like, talk about... Yeah, okay, we know we're the loser crew, okay? Like,
another word for muggle.
Yeah, basically, right? Like, we are the...
We are the misfits. We get this crazy scene where Harry tosses this water out of the vehicle and then hits it with a fire spell. Tells Thomas to flip this shitty to get back towards it. And then once the entity gets past or gets on the water bottles, he turns the whole thing into ice using almost like a reverse fuego spell.
Basically.
Which is crazy.
Okay, but before all of that, like with the scarecrow chasing after the van, I can't help but feel Jurassic Park.
Ooh,
where they're driving away and the T-Rex is chasing after you. You get the really hilarious scene of objects in the mirror may appear closer.
Yes, you're right. Yes, because he does that. He looks
like, I just kept envisioning, like, Thomas, like, look out the side mirror and it's like the scarecrow's right there with objects may appear closer.
Yeah. Objects are closer than they appear. Yeah.
It's a little bit reminiscent back to book 6 of Thomas in the waiting van and Harry running out the building. It's on fire and it's not my fault.
Yeah. It's just the car, but yeah.
So Thomas makes a great getaway driver.
They do. Well, and I love that they have this little banter going back and forth, too, because Thomas is like, do something. And Harry's like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Like, my fire and shit didn't do anything. And Thomas is like, I don't know, fucking figure it out.
For being an improv, that was pretty, like, whew.
Yeah.
And sort of our first time seeing him pull ice. And
yes.
Not
as not
he
just...
He does a lot of flame pulling, and wind.
Exactly, right? Which is an interesting how he does this, because, again, he makes... He makes wind, he makes fire, why isn't he just making ice? But he's like, I can't really do that. But yeah, but him saying, like, he sucks at evocation and stuff like that. So it tells you that all these spells he pulls, how they have been crafted and formed and practiced. They're not just shit he pulls out on the fly, right? Because, like, obviously he's like, I want to do something a little bit different and I haven't prepped for doing this a little bit different. So he's like, I got no clue what I'm doing. So he's like, I don't know how to make ice. I don't know how to make fire. Making fire is sucking all. But it also makes me feel like, so when you did his big pyro fuego at Bianca's, why did you not turn that city block into like a fucking ice age? Because you were sucking up all the heat to make this huge flame.
But he explains in it here that it's becoming, that he, it usually comes from him.
I guess, is
the
that
power
the,
source.
The only
he
difference?
He says it in here.
Normally,
this comes from me, but in this case, I focused
on taking
that energy out of things in the
out
area.
Out of the environment. Yeah, I guess that is.
And if he'd never burned down Bianca's, he wouldn't have learned how bad it is, and then maybe he would have done it now. He's learned his lesson, okay? Maybe,
I get it, it's fair, but I'm like, I guess, yes, that is just the only difference there is that, yeah, he wasn't pulling it out of the environment around Bianca's. Yeah, fair enough. So fine, it wasn't a big deal, but thankfully, Madrigal has an issue with water, so he's got these nice cases. But yes, yeah, such a brilliant little piece of
yeah, good building.
Let me fuck it on. Yeah, you're just cool, right? I'm going to throw a fire spell, but I'm going to make ice with it.
Yeah. Harry is definitely leveling up. He's being using... things that are familiar to him in more creative ways.
Exactly. Right. I'd be like, this is why I have, like, my stick and my staff and my shit. It's like, yes. I don't know how to just...
Speaking of leveling up, Thomas, you look stronger lately. A little bit more vampiric lately.
So wait, when you were fighting that guy, all of a sudden...
I couldn't help but notice.
Yes.
You're active again. I'm like, well, yes, he's a sex vampire. He's been active for a long time.
So Thomas fesses up that, yes, he has been fiending again. And it's been since last Halloween where he might have just joined up with the wild
hunt.
Oh,
wait. The bike didn't break down.
What? So, yeah, last book when Thomas disappeared for the whole rest of the book.
Left everybody else to get eaten by zombies. All
turns
those poor little baby
wardens. Turns out he got recruited by the Earl King. And spent the rest of his Halloween doing that.
Run, join, or die. Well, basically running is dying. Die or join. And he's like, wow, I'm so impressed. Only like maybe like 5 people in the history of the universe have ever gotten away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't run.
I did like that moment. Like, it was definitely a different mindset from Harry to Thomas.
Right.
Like, the first thing that Harry assumes is that he didn't.
Well, especially
you're a
because
good guy now.
Harry started that night turning down the Earl King, essentially. He fought off the Earl King, essentially, and was like, no, no, no. And the Earl King came to respect him later on and been like, all right, we're not going to kill you tonight.
You helped me, yeah.
Because he fucking did amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Harry's like, oh, my God, brother to brother, we are the man. And I'm like, listen.
Not quite.
Thomas.
Harry's like, okay, so you're feeding.
Yeah.
He's like, you've got a job because you got a car. Yeah. Harry's like, okay, you went through like a couple fucking beginning to think there wasn't a place you hadn't been fired from. Now you've held a job for however many months without getting fired. So what is the story there? And I was like, it's kind of funny too, because he's like, well, he didn't really like it, but Thomas would always talk about it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was your big hissy fit fight in book four, was that Thomas didn't want to talk about the fact that he got fired yet again. Like, yes, for the most part, he was willing to be like...
Book four?
I didn't say book four. Did I say the last book? Deadbeat, book seven.
You said book
the
four.
Book before, the oh, book before, okay. I think is what, yeah.
I was like, am no. I out of my mind right now? How long
yes,
has Thomas
you
been
are.
Living here?
The book before.
Okay, okay.
Yes. Where, yeah, he was all like, oh, I got fired again. Okay, fine, there, I told you. And now he's like, well, Thomas never minded telling me that he got fired. I mean, yeah, it pissed him off and it bummed him out, but he never had a problem telling me. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of explains why he's been really quite elusive, because he's got a bit of shame going on.
Yeah,
but the fact that he still doesn't confess to where he's working is insane to me, because I read this whole book and said, we still don't learn where the fuck he's been?
And that's what Harry is like. He's like, okay, because you think the big...
We need some content for the next book.
Big secret...
Oh, yeah, yeah. We need some... we gotta save something.
Yeah, because there's never enough going on in these.
Yeah, save some Thomas lore for the next book,
just
so
making
we have something
sure
interesting to talk about.
We touched on it enough for you to forget about it until later.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, exactly. It's like, you'd think the big secret was joining the hunt and not like, oops, I broke down and didn't make it, you know, and the job. And exactly. And he admits all of this. And Harry's like, okay, all right. I'm going to take this in. I'm going to, okay, you're still my brother. Okay, so where are you? Well, we can't talk about that. I'm not telling you that. And it's like, that's going to be the least of all of it now. Why are you not telling us that?
Literally.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Harry's just like, well, I don't have time to deal with this right now. And we're like, the fuck? If this was real life, Harry, you would have fucking been badgering him.
Pounding.
Yeah.
Instead, the subject changes to Glau being a Jan, a scion of a djinn and a mortal. Harry figures the phobophage was likely sent for Glau since fear wasn't the goal this time.
Private Detective Harry,
let's do
our job for once.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting point because, yes, the phobophages, this whole time we've been operating, why did he choose Pal or why did he choose the girls? Why did he choose, and in this case, why did he choose Glau? And it's seeming a lot of these attacks
Harry's
are a little
like,
more focused.
Bunch of us were under a lot more fear, anxiety, stress. You'd think we would have been way tastier. Why did he go to the guy?
No offense, Rollins, you should be dead.
Pretty much already down and out. Yeah, he was all but dead, and he's the first one. And I mean, again, to the casual reader, I'm like, well, he was right there. He was the closest one. He just picked up. Now you're bringing all these other points into it. Now I gotta read more into it. What the fuck, Harry? Why did he go after Glau? Maybe they wanted to pin it all on Madrigal. What a perfect patsy he would make. Oh, you're right. Because that's what Harry thought five minutes ago.
That's exactly what Harry and Thomas were just grilling him about.
Yeah, what are you doing? Why is this? Why did you start? Oh, it wasn't me. What do you mean? Oops, let's just conveniently tie off this loose end. I mean, rip its head off. So, but it also is, like, it's funny how Thomas is like, and it, again, because I sort of forgot in the very beginning, right, where he's like, Glau is his lawyer, right? And he's sitting here and he's like, oh, you should see the way this guy like dances around. And I'm thinking like the fucking like vampire courts, right? And court business. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, he means like law courts. Like the guy's like, there's too many fucking courts and councils and right?
It's part-time like, jester.
You just can't keep, yeah. It's like, what kind of court is he manipulating? All of them, none of them.
So Harry suggests that they drop Rollins off at the hospital and that he'll track the trail of the other phages.
Rollins
summoner.
Is still getting fired.
Right? Although, I don't know, because he was also off the clock when he got kidnapped and shot.
He's just
so does that really count?
Coincidentally, there. Plausible deniability,
right? Exactly.
Great.
You hire a doctor, you pay, and you have him turn around.
I'm also a fan of horror stuff.
I know, that's what I'd be saying. I wanted to go to HorrorCon as just a guy, okay?
Yeah, I was just there on my off time. Yep. So yeah, he just suggests, maybe we'll get him to a hospital. This poor guy has been battered and bruised and shot a few times. And then yes, thankfully, Harry just happened to incorporate a little bit of a tracking spell so that when he sent these things flying back at their evil master, he's
that like, makes no sense to me.
Just in case I wanted to go and make sure that
this
they
this one is the worst explanation, justification.
I need to put some vapor in a pocket. Get a fucking and track them later.
Is that like when guys try and like bottle farts or something? Like what is this?
That's what he tried to do. Not what? Tried, apparently successfully
what?
Did.
Oh, Lord.
I dipped my candle in
oh, that's where you're getting the...
Okay. I had to like, what the fuck? I had to look this over. And the pale green vapor in the air. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't make any sense that this works and that he's able to call on this and use it as a tracking spell and, like, just... I
Harry
consider
is so
this
funny.
Cheap.
Like, for the amount of time... Again, because, yeah, I didn't say anything about it. Like, if it had been mentioned when we were prepping it, and I'll throw in a tracking so I can make sure the job gets done, you'd kind of be like, now all of a sudden it's like, well...
And by the way...
But Harry does tracking spells in almost every book to one degree. And he keeps saying, he's like, this is my most... This is where Harry has made his bread and butter for a lot of it. Fucking... I can find things.
You want
because
car
I can
keys?
Fucking,
I got you.
You want coins at the bottom of the Chicago Lake?
I'm still mad about that one.
But I got you, right? Like, but every time he does them differently and they all have varying success, I'm like, for something you've done, oh, and this is the thing I can do in my sleep.
Let's keep it fresh, people.
You have 17 different versions and it seems like you always pick the wrong version when it's important. You know, you can find fucking keys and wedding rings and coin collections, but your fucking best friend's daughter, you're like, nope, she's just gone.
Oh, I see where your point was going now.
Yeah, but it's like, right? It's like every time he needs to find, what was it? Was it in the last book where him and Murphy were... They ended up triangulating to the
Well, it was the short story for
the wedding.
Wedding.
That's
yeah.
what it was, the short story for the wedding, right? I was like, I can kind of. And yeah, all along, he always comes up with these, like, it doesn't quite work, almost gets me there, it gets me close, but I can't properly do it. I'm like, what the fuck? This is like your one and only, you're trying to
success
this is like
rate
your
is based on how important the tracking spell is to the plot.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
least,
exactly.
The less
yeah.
important it is to the plot, the higher the success rate on the tracking
Inversely
spell.
Inversely proportioned.
Harry needs to just be standing around going, I don't even care if this works. I don't even care.
Right? Right?
Yes. Barely even matters.
Stop assigning him. It's like when you bluff the bad guy when they're like, I'm going to blow the head off your partner because you're secretly in love with her. And they're like, no, I'm not. I don't care. Go ahead and kill her. Because they're trying to do the whole bluff that, well, if you're important to me, people will see you as a target. So if I pretend you mean nothing to me, they won't care about killing you. Like, just prepare nothing you're looking for is actually something you care about, Harry.
So, alas.
In this case, the tracking spell does work and it brings them to a...
Interesting. It's a kind of familiar neighborhood.
Been to
and then a little
recently.
Bit more familiar. And then wait a minute. Which, if anybody's been paying attention for the last 8 books, we know that that neighborhood is where? The decorative mailbox 3 feet from me read in cheerfully painted letters, The Carpenters. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I sent the pages after Molly.
Dun dun dun!
I fucked up! This concludes our episode 17.18, Miracle Mouse. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macandallies.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling, conjured by at your own pace.